Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi folks, welcome to episode 30 of the Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, where we are finishing our three-part series on Belisarius. I'm joined by Beau, and F's in the chat, basically, isn't it? Because we left off last time with Belisarius in the first episode, rising to prominence in his Sassanid War, coming to his apex, conquering Africa and Italy, marching on Rome, defeating the Germans, and then... what now?
Okay, well, we can pick up the story from when he goes home. And yeah, this is sort of one of his high points because it's sort of kind of downhill. There are more glories to come.
Right, okay.
But it's essentially downhill
from
here on out for poor old Belisarius. But it's still a long sort of drawn out thing. As I said in a couple of the previous ones, his life is one of those lives that's just filled with events. There's not sort of much downtime, you know. So yeah, we can just kick off straight away with so when he's recalled back to Constantinople, it's not long. I mean, Justinian's jealous of him by this point.
Really?
Yeah, it's not just a case of being slightly worried that he's overly powerful, although that is of course a worry, but he's actually jealous.
Well, I mean, he does have reason to be, doesn't he? Because, I mean, this guy has restored a significant part of the Western Empire. He has recaptured Rome for the Roman Empire. And he did pretend that he was going to be the Emperor of the West to get the Gothic king out of his fortress. So I can see why he sat there with green eyes looking at him.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think you almost can't help but to be jealous of someone who's very, very good at something that you know you're never going to be able to do.
And that's another thing as well, isn't it? Yeah. Like, Justinian is never going to be a military commander.
No, it's just not in his character, really. No. So when he goes back to Constantinople, this is sort of for the second time, he doesn't get a triumph or another consulship, but he is the hero of the East, of Eastern Rome, of the Byzantine Empire. He's the hero, you know, and obviously extremely famous now.
Oh, yeah, and they must be cheering his name in the streets.
Yeah, I've got a couple of lines from Gibbon that sort of put it in some perspective. Gibbon writes, quote, "After the second victory of Belisarius, envy again whispered, Justinian listened, and the hero was recalled." So he could have actually...
kept going.
It could have, yeah, but Justinian wanted him to come back. Because, yeah, it's
don't just... you need Spain and Gaul, Justinian?
Well, yes.
Don't you need that back?
And we mentioned the Gothic leader, Vitiges. So, yeah, he comes back. He goes to Constantinople briefly as well, but again, isn't executed or anything. He's sort of given honours, if anything.
Weird.
Some.
Yeah.
I suppose it's when you've got an enemy, your options are either to annihilate them completely to a man or... if you're not going to do that, then
clemency.
Some sort of compromise. Sorry.
Clemency.
Yeah.
I would have Vercingetorixed him, to be honest. Just because, you know.
The ritualistic strangling.
Yeah. You know, after parading in front of the people.
Gibbon also says about Belisarius, quote, "His glory was indeed exalted above all external pomp." I love Gibbon's turn of phrase. It's very old-fashioned, but...
Oh, no, that's what's good about it, you know. But undoubtedly, you can get the feeling that, you know, the... He must have just been unbelievably famous wherever he went. And Justinian, and probably universally loved, because everyone loves a conqueror. And Justinian's just like, but I sent him. It's like, yeah, yeah, great.
Yeah, well done. You made a good call.
Yeah.
But that's where it ended for you. He did all the work.
Precisely.
One other one, just from Gibbon, he says, quote, whenever he appeared, this is Belisarius, whenever he appeared in the streets and public places of Constantinople, Belisarius attracted and satisfied the eyes of the people. His lofty stature and majestic countenance fulfilled their expectations of a hero.
Chad.
Yeah.
So he's a total Chad. He's a complete winner. And Justinian, the sort of thin, like, bureaucratic, like, I don't know, just reedy Machiavellian politician is looking at this absolute giga Chad and just being like, God damn it, everyone loves him.
I wish I were you.
Yeah, nobody loves me. They're all afraid of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Machiavelli would point out that that's good. You know, it's better than being loved, but...
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop the envy, does it?
And the thing about Justinian is we'll see towards the end there is some sort of conspiracy against him. Mm. So he's not universally loved. Absolutely
no.
Not.
No, absolutely.
I mean, well, the Nicae riots, you can only imagine pissed off those that survived it that weren't on his side.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll despise him till the end of time.
And he didn't exactly cover himself in glory from the people on his own side there either.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly like... You know, browbeating, drum thumping, blue to the core. You know, he was very hands off in a way. And it's like, okay.
I mean, even his own wife Theodora, who is a badass in her own right, undeniably. Even she was a bit sort of like, dude, you're being really weak here.
Yeah, do something.
Like, grow a pair, please. But he does. I mean, yeah, he does. So yeah, he's not afraid. I just he made some. Well, he had some tough calls to make during his reign. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Another quick word from Gibbon about Belisarius. He says, quote, by the union of liberality and justice, he acquired the love of the soldiers without alienating the affections of the people. The sick and wounded were relieved with medicines and money, and still more efficaciously by the healing visits and smiles of their commander.
Mm.
So he's actually sort of...
A very charitable...
Yeah.
How to describe it? Sort of compassionate man is how he comes across.
Yeah, you wouldn't. There's no accounts of Alexander doing anything like that or Caesar doing anything like that, particularly, is there?
No.
So it seems like he does command the actual, well, esteem, if not love, of a lot of the people.
I mean, he's doing the right things to command it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a few Roman emperors. I was reading one the other day, one of the sort of lesser known third century ones.
Mm.
And it was sort of, it sprung to mind that he was the opposite. It was everything that Belisarius gets described as being good for. There are other people who just have none of those virtues, none of those qualities.
It's not Caracalla, is it?
It wasn't. But
the common enemy of mankind.
He's a really bad one.
We should do one on him at some point.
He's top five baddies, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's particularly insane. Yeah. One last thing just from Gibbon, I'll leave it alone for a minute. He says, the spectator and historian of his exploits has observed that amidst the perils of war, he was daring without rashness, prudent without fear, slow or rapid according to the exigencies of the moment. That in the deepest distress, he was animated by real or apparent hope, but that he was modest and humble in the most prosperous fortune. By these virtues, he equaled or excelled the ancient masters of the military art.
Well, there we go.
I mean, so Gibbon is talking about Alexander and Pyrrhus and Gaius when he says that.
Couldn't get a stronger endorsement than that. That's excellent. There we go.
Yeah. I feel like there's a...
Temperate, wise, compassionate, successful, Chad. I mean, Belisarius had it all. No one's Justinian's just sat there going, that bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything you can't do, Belisarius?
Exactly. Do you mind failing for a minute, please?
And you're also physically large and look good, apparently. Yeah, so it's like, it's really the full package.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, but what happens is that the Sassanids... are not out of the picture entirely. We mentioned before that...
I can't believe they can't be trusted.
Yeah, who would have thunk it, you know? Yeah. their ruler is Khosrow I.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how before...
He's quite famous in his own right before we go on, though, isn't he? Maybe it's a separate Khosrow I'm thinking of, but doesn't one of them eventually capture Byzantine emperors and humble them?
I don't think it's this. It can't be this one, I don't think.
It's probably one of the successors, isn't it?
Yeah. But still, this question at first is sort of thought of as a good, strong one. Yeah, he's no loser. No, for sure. He's a formidable force to be reckoned with. Well, because he calculates that Byzantium Byzantium are heavily deployed out west.
They're committed.
Yeah, yeah. And so he thinks that, again, correctly, that their eastern border is very, very, very lightly defended. And in fact, they're supposed to have an eternal peace. Just on the last one, just before we talked about Italy and North Africa, that the Sassanids and the Byzantines had had an eternal peace.
Yeah.
But this down the road, 9 years later, roughly, yeah, Khosrow can't really help himself. He just sees the whole Eastern Byzantine Empire sort of just sitting over, just waiting to be screwed over.
Duplicitous Sassanid bastard.
Yeah.
Just sat there going, well, I do have this oath that I've given, but they're also totally undefended.
It's one of those things, I don't know, if you just found a load of cash on the street, would you hand it into the police?
It's not just a guy's wallet. It's literally like billions of dollars worth of gold that he's looking at going, well, this is just sat there. Like the richest cities of the East, basically, are all undefended. Brilliant tactic, Justinian. Well done.
Yeah. I mean, you can accuse Justinian here of being naive a bit.
I would say so, yeah.
I think if you're playing like a game of Civ or something like that,
yeah.
You would always put just enough men to, in case they do attack, enough defensive units along there.
You would at least
in case they attack, you know?
One field army on at least, because I mean, it's not like it's a small amount of territory, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the entire sort of eastern board, Egypt, the Levant, Turkey, all of it. You know, you would at least have something there rather than just like, oh, we've got nothing.
Mm.
But he has nothing.
Essentially, yeah, basically.
And he's only sent, 15,000 people to the west?
Something like that, yeah.
So what's he doing with all the money? Like, why isn't he raising armies?
Well, it may be that he's running out of money at this point.
Right.
Because sometimes in history, wars are profitable, make money, and other times they just cost money.
Mm.
Usually they cost money. Mm. But historians have said that the Italian wars, these first set of Italian wars we covered in the last epochs, were actually sort of a net profit. He made some money. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But nevertheless, they're still super low on money because... there's the
corruption.
Well, they're just, absolutely. Yeah. That's sort of a key, sort of root cause.
Yeah.
but the war that kicks off in the East here is called the Lazic War, or sometimes the Colchian War.
Right.
Cause up by the like most extreme East coast of the Black Sea, the very most northern part of their border, you know, we'll put a map up so everyone can see exactly what it is. Lazica. Sort of up there in Lazica, or Iberia, that region.
Mm-hmm.
And it's controlled by the Byzantines, and they're not paying their men. They haven't been paying them for a while. So the men are like...
Why would we do what you want?
Yeah. The Sassanid Shah will pay us. So we just flip.
Oh.
They basically flip that sort of small region. And on top of that, Khosrow bounces across the border there and invades, sacks a town called Sura.
Mm-hmm.
This is in 540 AD, just to remind people where we are in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sacks that and, Justinian and the Byzantines are like, oh, this isn't sort of some sort of cheeky small-scale raiding. He's actually invading us.
Justinian crying Wojak going eternal peace.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this is, isn't it?
He cries
yeah.
uncle.
Yeah, yeah,
stop,
yeah, yeah.
Anything, just stop. and then... Khosrow, after he does that, he realises, it really is empty. We thought it was, but it really is.
Yeah, because that was just a test, wasn't it? What's going to, because you would expect, some 20,000-man army to march up and be like, okay, fair enough, let's just, get our ill-gotten gains and go back and, that's fine. But, nothing happens.
So he decides he's just going to push further. I mean...
Why wouldn't I? Alexander style. This is what the Greeks learned about the Persians from Xenophon, wasn't it? Is that there's basically nothing in the Persian Empire once you get past the frontiers. And this is what Khosrow's learning about the Byzantines. There's nothing in the Empire once you get past the frontiers. So you can just start gobbling things up.
Yeah, it's like kind of empty.
Yeah.
It's got a really thin crust, really thin shell. and inside is completely empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this period. So he decides to push forward, push westwards towards Antioch. And you'll see on the map that that's sort of key importance. If whenever Byzantium lose Antioch,
yeah,
it's a real bad problem because it says that... Well, you can just see from strategically how important it is. Once you lose that, the whole of the Eastern Mediterranean and Egypt is all imperiled at that point.
And it's such a rich jewel, and it was such a famous city up until, like, I don't know, 1300 or wherever, when it was abandoned. But, like, and it doesn't exist now. And yet, you know, go back 1,000 years, and Antioch is one of the most important places in the world.
Mm. Well, when it's retaken by in the First Crusade...
Mm.
What are we talking, if I can remember off my head, 1090-something, 1098 or 1097 or something.
11th century, yeah.
Yeah. They take it just before they take Jerusalem for the first time, which was, is that 1099? I should know all these dates off the top of my head. I think that's right.
But we'll do the Crusades another time.
But yeah, at that point, for example, Antioch is absolutely key.
Mm.
And when those Crusaders retake it, it's they're reclaiming it for Christianity at that point from Muslim armies. So anyway, Khosrow I takes Antioch, and Justinian craps himself a little bit.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. He's like, okay, this isn't going to...
Now it's the red eyes pulling, screeching.
So
Belisarius, what are you going to do for me?
Well, to begin with, Justinian just pays him off.
Oh, brilliant.
He gives like £5,000 worth of gold and a promise of more loads of gold every year from that point forward.
Right. And if there's one thing you learn from history, folks, is that paying off the people who are ravaging you doesn't work, ever. I can't think of a single example of where it's worked. I can think of loads of examples where they've tried to make it work and failed, but I can't think of a single one where it works. You take those stacks of gold that you're going to give to the enemy, and you get soldiers, and more soldiers, and more soldiers. And that's the only solution.
Mm. Yeah, well, because...
It really is.
Yeah. It's, well, it's negotiating with terrorists. It's a sort of a false economy.
But you're
it's
negotiating...
It's not in your interest, ultimately, at all.
But you're negotiating from a position of profound weakness, spending the resources you should be using to defend yourself in encouraging the enemy to continue attacking you for more resources. What are you doing?
Yeah. And both parties will know that's what's going on. Right?
Yeah, both parties are completely aware of this, you know. And so it's just like, okay, don't do it. Just, you know, make them pay for those resources or, you know, do something else. But anyway.
Like playing, I mentioned Sid Meier's Civilization games, when you ask one of the enemies to just give over all their money, and when they do, you say, like, oh, sucker.
Yeah. And know, now my armies are rolling in. Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can only imagine that's how they feel. But so anyway.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.